Okay, let's give a shout to the Lord. Let's give a thank you to the Lord. Anybody here love the Lord? Amen. Are you ready for some word? I want to tell you, I'm so ready. I'm so ready to share it. Well, we welcome you to New Beginnings Fellowship today. And all those listening in, we give a thank you for you listening in. And we're going to hit the ground running because I've got probably more sermon than I can... Well, we're just going to be blessed. Let's go for it. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Romans 4:13. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity, his future generations. And let me say, you know, we've covered in past sermons, when you receive Christ, that you become the seed of Abraham. You're birthed in to the family of Abraham, the family of faith. Okay? And it's by faith and not by... certain bloodline, is by the bloodline of Jesus. Okay? And so he loves faith, and it's about faith. So, and when he's talking about future generations, I'm looking at him right here because of what the Lord has done. Okay? And so if it applies to you, if your name's on the letter, I pick at my wife sometimes when mail comes in. I give her all the junk mail, and she asks me over and over, why do you give me this? I have it waiting for her in her special place. I just want you to feel special. I just want you to know how important you are and how loved you are. And I give her all the junk mail and even the mail I don't want. But here's the deal. This has got your name on it. When it speaks of future generations, it's talking about you. And so all eyes and all ears, okay, let's hear with our heart. His desire is for us to inherit the earth, okay? And I want to tell you, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Hey, he's promised us and told us that he's overcome the world. And so guess what? We get to enjoy the overcoming of the kingdom of God on this planet Earth. And so we've got a lot to look forward to, even in the middle of the nasty now. We got a lot to look forward to. This did not come about through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, you know, that's big with God. That's big with us. It's righteousness by faith. It's not on law working, but it's on grace resting. Yeah, I've been wanting to say that. I like that. It's not on law working. It's on grace resting. Romans 4:14. And if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then faith is made futile. Futile. And empty of all meaning. And the promise of God is made void. It's annulled and has no power. And so I'm telling you, if it's by the law, okay, and a lot of people think it is, but if it's by the law, then faith has no count. And you might as well leave your Bible here, and you might as well go party like the rest of them. But I'm telling you, that's not the way it is. And he's made that clear to us. Okay? Here's what he's saying, is that there's not a combination. There's not a mixture here. I know that there's certain groups of Christian groups, that mix law and grace. But work it and earn it does not work. It's either or. Okay? It's not both. It's either by grace or by law. It's not either or, and it's not a combination of both. God gives us a lot of examples in Scripture that he hates mixtures. It's not about the mixture of it. Okay, a little bit of leaven. You see what I'm saying? Are y'all following me, saints? Okay, because I got to preach a little fast here. Okay, Romans 4:16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. That's our positive response to God. Okay, receiving and saying yes to God in order that it might be given as an act of grace. Now, we're real big on by grace through faith. And it's presented right here. In order for this to be free, for all people to receive, it's not by works, it's by grace through faith. By grace, it's all been provided by Jesus. It's free gift. It's favor of God. He said yes to you before you said yes to him. And it's by faith, the saying yes to God, that we receive what God is and what God has for us. That's Jesus. And look at this. To make it stable and valid, okay, and guaranteed to all his descendants. Now, let me say it like this. This is a great expression just to say that the ground is level at the cross. Ground's level. I love that. And this is Paul writing this. And you know his story, Saul turned Paul, because he was a law doer and a law keeper, and he was so aggressive about keeping the law in order to try to please God that he was killing Christians to do it. And so I want to tell you, you say, well, why did he use this expression coming up? I think he had himself and his own law-keeping brothers in mind. Because look what he says. It almost seems like that he's looked in the mirror for a second. To make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law. Okay, in other words, he's saying it's available to everybody to receive, even those going the wrong direction. Even those practicing law, grace is available. And faith is available. And so it's still available, even though they're going the wrong direction. I think he was thinking of Saul becoming Paul. Because there's a big difference between Saul and Paul. Okay. But also to those who share the faith of Abraham, which includes us, who is thus the father of us all. You see it, how he brings it together? So this is a sure promise by grace through faith. By law is of no effect. I'm going to make some simple statements to try to help you see it. Sometimes it helps if it's said in a little different way or you run the train by a few more times. But law or religion is like man working to please or receive or earn from God. Religion falls in that. Grace is the finished works of Jesus. It's God working to bless us with relationship. I want to tell you, hey, all this took place in order for God to have a relationship with you. It was illegal for him to have a relationship with you because of your sin. Jesus paid for your sin in order for God the Father to have a relationship with you. God wants relationship. Not looking for slaves or servants. We serve because we love, but he's got angels to do his bit. You know, he's looking for relationship. And so that ought to be exciting news for you. That's why Jesus came. That's what grace is all about, to bless us with relationship with him, unearned, undeserved favor. By grace, no works. By works, no grace. Okay? By works, it means we're trying to make it happen. By grace, it says, I'm trusting God and I'm receiving it. Wow, I love that. I really do. I could park there, but this is where I was in a hurry to get to, because I want to share with you, and I want to preach all through Mark 5, because it's just an amazing description of Jesus. We see such pictures of Jesus in Mark 5. I'd love to start with verse 1 and go all the way through. May do it one day. May have to ask you to bring a sack lunch. But I just love this so much. But anyway, here we are in Mark 5, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit. One of the leaders of the synagogue, his name is Jairus, his daughter was dying, was at the point of death, and he came to Jesus and said, 911, my daughter's dying. And Jesus responded, and they were on the way. He was on the way to pray for this daughter. And it was a 911 situation, so, you know, it was priority. And Jesus is traveling, and I wish I could describe to you the walkways, or what they call roads back then, or walkways, marketplaces, but it's very crowded. Very narrow, as a matter of fact. You can't think about Highway 183. The roads back then were not designed for Big Mac trucks. They were basically designed as a walkthrough. And so when you see this in your mind, this walkway coming through the marketplace or going from here to there, it's like it would be like an aisle in the grocery stores, more like what it would be like. They designed the aisles where you can touch either way, baby. Grab him. Yeah, okay. It's kind of like this because you got marketplace there, and there's descriptions in the Bible of people would hear that Jesus is coming, and they would go gather the sick and line up in those aisles. crowded marketplace, line up. And as Jesus walked by, there's description in the Bible more than one time of them reaching out and just touching his robe, touching the hem of his garment, and they would be healed. And so I don't know how you see it, but we've got an aisle here. I kind of picture that Jesus is walking through, and it's not this holy, you know, serious. I don't think it's like, I think it was joy. Manifestation of the heart of Father. And I think he took his robe and kind of spread it out, and he's walking through, and people go ahead. Get a touch of it. Oh, come on. And people getting healed as they're walking up down the aisle. I saw a picture of this somewhere where it's kind of like, you know, could be like this, you know, come on. I just love that. But here we go. They're on the way, and it's 911. Let's look at this, verse 24. I love this woman. I'm looking forward to hugging her in heaven. I call her a shero of faith. A shero of faith. And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him. Now, this is what I'm trying to explain to you is real close quarters. Okay, so James, be Jesus today. You like that, don't you? Come on up and be Jesus today. Anthony and Anthony, come. Pastor Don, come. Let me get three or four guys up here. Okay, Rich, come. All right, now, this is Jesus walking down the aisle here. Let's get him over here in the aisle. Here's Jesus walking down the walkway here, and y'all surround him because the Bible says somebody get in front of him, kind of walking away. Get around here. Gather in. Rich, come on up here. Quick. I got an example here, and the people on podcast can't see it. See, it's why you need to come sometime. All right, and look, there. The Bible says that it was so crowded it was suffocating. Do you get the picture?
Yeah.
Now, in this story, there's a little woman that is sick and has an issue of blood. And she is saying in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now, she didn't make this up. The works and the words of Jesus had gone forth. She had heard testimonies of many people being healed. Sometimes he would sit down and would have people come up just to touch his garment and be healed. Little ones come up, touch. And so how's she going to get to them? She's looking over here, and it's a crowd, and it's a bunch of big old men, you know, walking around there. How's she going to get to them? I got a picture of this in my mind. I remember one particular ball game where they put me at nose guard, even though I played middle linebacker. The center was a blue chipper, and they put me right on the center to give him a fit and disrupt the offense. And I made a shoestring tackle by reaching through and grabbing quarterback's shoe and tackled him. And that's why those two fingers don't straighten out, okay? But it was worth it. But I want to tell you, the way I see this, the picture I got in my mind, is that she made a shoestring tackle.
Oh, there you go.
So, Gina, get down on your hands and knees and reach up there.
You can do it, so go for it.
Oh, okay, well, she did. Okay, but do you see the picture? I think she got down on her hands and knees and she dove in there. She dove through here and she touched the hem of his.
There you go.
Okay, let's give them all a hand and let them have a seat. Okay. I try to tell you that when you read the Bible that you need to get sand in between your toes. Okay, so you get the picture here. Here it is, verse 25. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. This is what I like about her and I love about her. She did not quit. 12 years. 12 years. How long you been struggling? How long you feel like you've been a captive? How long you been sick? How long you been hurting? You know what she heard after 12 years? You know what she heard? This is a lifetime for you. You know she heard that. You know what else she heard? You might as well get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what else she heard? She heard people say to her, that's you. That's just you.
Yeah.
It's not curable. Okay? Hey, wait a minute. How about this? This will always be with you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just kind of painting a picture for you. Verse 26, and who had endured much suffering. Everybody say pain. Under the hands of many physicians. I want to tell you. I just can't go there. Okay, you understand. And she, not only that, has she suffered in the hands of many doctors, but she had spent all the money. You see that? She had spent all that she had. And so not only did she go from doctor to doctor to try to get help, and it got worse, and she suffered much pain through them, but they also took all of her money. She had no money left. Is there a need here? And look at this. And was no better, but instead grew worse. Okay. I want to tell you something about your circumstances, and I don't know all of them. Jesus has more answers than you got questions. We don't have this for him, do we? Jesus has more answers than you got questions. He's got more provision than you have needs. He's got more peace and more love than you have troubles. Wow, that need to be on a t-shirt. Big t-shirt, I guess. But look at verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, thank God for reporters. Did you know you're called to be a reporter? It's called being a witness. A witness tells what he or she knows or has seen. You understand? And so I'm telling you, one of the things that the Bible calls you and I, all of us, to do is to be a witness. To be a reporter of Jesus. What has he done for you? What has he said to you? What have you seen him do? What have you heard him say? What do you know about Jesus? Tell it. Thank God there were reporters in that day. Because she wasn't going, but other people had gone and come and were reporting the works of Jesus. She had heard reports of how that he would sit and have people come and touch, and even little ones come and touch his robe and be healed. She had heard reports of him going through marketplaces and people reaching out and touching his robe and being healed. She had heard reports of the words of Jesus, that he was peace, that he was joy, that he was love, and his father was a loving father that knew how to give good gifts to his children. Okay? She had heard his word. She had heard his work. She had heard the reports. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little preliminary about a healing series that we're going to do in the future. Near future. That's up next. But it goes something like this. You know what healing is about? Hey, he loves you. He loves to love on you. He loves to restore and renew. But I want to tell you, it's not just about you. He is loving on you. But it's not just about you. Do you know what it's about? It's for others. Well, Brother Tim, I don't understand. You mean the Lord healing me? How's that for others? The report and the testimony of what Jesus is saying and Jesus is doing. That's why we tell you over and over again, you know, you are the key to our church growing. There was a sign in your shop. I don't know if it's still there. But it said that our customers, our business is promoted by our customers sharing the news, something like that. It goes like that, right? Okay, all right. Hey, look, that's real life. What we're telling you is that you go brag on Jesus. What do you see Jesus do here? You go brag on Jesus. What do you hear about the words of Jesus here? You go talk about the words of Jesus. Don't go brag on the pastors. Go brag on Jesus. Amen. They've seen pastors not too impressed, but they will be impressed with Jesus, the real Jesus. And so that's what this is all about. Oh, hey, here's the answer right here. Do you know what the healing is all about? Hey, it's back when I was a boy, and I'd be playing in the back 40 down there in the woods by the creek, and I'd hear Mammy open the back door and say, Timmy! Supper's ready, Timmy. Now, I want to tell you, it didn't matter what I was playing of what I was hunting, I double timed it to the house. Because you know what that was? That was the dinner bell. Let me tell you what miracles and healing's about. Pastor, you see this, don't you? It's the dinner bell. It's calling people to Jesus. When you see that it's about Him, it erases all the surroundings that point to men. It's about Him. It's the dinner bell. This worked for her. She heard reports. People touching the hem of His garment and being changed, being healed. And so she came up behind Him in the throng, in the group of people. Now you've already seen this. The Bible says, just like we had Gina come up from behind in that example, and she was pressing into Him. I think she did a nosedive tackle, a shoestring tackle. And I want to tell you, she pressed into Him and she touched His garment. Okay? She was seeking. She was pressing into Him. Her faith had some cooperating actions to it. Amen. That's an important word. Cooperating actions to it. Okay? And she kept saying, verse 28, she kept saying. Now see, this is important. She kept saying. We've tried to explain to you the power of your words. To say the Word of God. That's why we do the confessions of faith. To speak the Word of God. Not to speak doubt, unbelief. Okay? Speculation, no. Not to speak fear. Not to speak worry. But to speak what God says. To speak faith. Now I want to tell you, she kept saying. Do you notice this? This is not an accident that the Holy Spirit put this in here. She kept saying, if I only touch His garments, I shall be healed. I'll be restored to health. Now you know what? There are a couple things here that we've taught on. One is speaking what God says. Speak your healing. Hey, speak it. The Bible says that we will eat the fruit of our lips. Now, if you're speaking negative and doubt and speculation and worry and fear, what kind of plate is that going to be? If you're speaking faith, if you're speaking the goodness of God, you're speaking what God says, what kind of plate is that going to be? It's going to be life to you. But she kept saying, if I only touch His garment. See, it's good for us to confess our faith. I shall be restored to health. Now, there's another thing happening here. In her imagination room, she had a picture. We've talked on this. In her imagination room, she had a picture. She kept saying to herself, if I can only touch the hem of His garment, she'd see herself touching the hem of His garment, I will be healed. That was her picture of Jesus as the healer. Now, I don't know what your need is this morning, but He's the answer to your need. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you Jesus as the answer to your need. And when you see Him in the picture meeting your need, that's faith operating. That's where hope comes from. And so she had hope from this. I'll be restored to health, verse 29. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. She knew it. Now, we're not talking about an emotion here. We're talking about a physical manifestation in her body that she recognized, I am healed. I'm no longer bleeding. I'm healed. This is dried up. This is healed. Just as she saw it in her imagination room, just as she kept confessing with her mouth, she received it. And suddenly, she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Now let me just explain something to you right quick. This was the initial touch of Jesus on her. Think about this. Be with me on this, saints. This was the initial touch. This was the manifestation of God's power in her life. It was a done deal. She was healed. Not just an emotion. Let me point out to you that she was desperate. But that's not the best word to describe her, because desperation can be an emotional moment.
Yeah.
Okay, it was deeper than that. We're talking about 12 years. Yeah. We're talking about someone who took a risk of faith that I'm going to explain to you in just a second. And she wasn't just desperate, she was determined.
Yes.
She was determined to come up in this throng of people that were surrounding, and for her as a woman to get down and dive down there and touch the hem of his garment. And I want to tell you, she was determined. This was the initial touch. This was the power. This was the healing. And so in verse 30, you would think, well, now wait a minute. Time out. This is a 911 situation. He's on the way to pray for Jairus' daughter who's dying. And so why would he stop the ambulance? Right? Get out of the ambulance and look around and say, who was that? He wouldn't do it unless it was important. I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a little secret here to keep you hanging on. Hey, he was not just interested in her immediate healing. He was interested in her divine health. Not just receiving a touch from him, but walking in divine health. It was important for her to confess with her mouth what Jesus had done on the inside of her. That's a powerful principle right there. Okay? Powerful principle. Are you with me? Are you on board? Let's cover it right quick. Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, he wasn't getting on to somebody. It was a question mark, an opportunity for them to reveal themselves. Why did he do this? Because it was important not only for her to get healed, but for her to walk in healing. Who received it? Now, the disciples didn't understand. And let me just say this. Sometimes disciples don't understand. If people are, you know, your situation, people don't understand it. Hey. Sometimes disciples don't understand. But Jesus does. And so don't get stumbled on a disciple not understanding where you're at or what you're going through. Keep your eye on Jesus. Because he knows what he's doing. And listen to this. He's promised to finish what he has started with you. Oh, I like that. Amen on that. That ought to give somebody some hope. They're saying to him, see the crowd pressing in. What do you mean, who touched me? People all around you? But hey, Jesus knew this was a personal touch that needs personal care and communion. And I want to tell this about you. He is seeking you for the more. Now I want to tell you, I've preached quite a bit of this country, and a lot of people testify of coming to Christ and salvation, and then they kind of close the book. Oh, I've received Christ. They kind of close the book. Well, that's it. I've been saved. I've received Christ. I've been forgiven of my sins. I know. Close the book. No. Hey, he's seeking you for the much more. There's more. There's more. And he's seeking you for the more. He loves you enough to do that. Aren't you glad? Well, those of you that are hearing, he's seeking you for the more. So still, he kept looking around to see her who had done this. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, now I want to just say this. She was not comfortable this being public, because it was a female situation of some kind. It was a private matter. And she did not want this to be publicly known. But I want to tell you, it was for her spiritual and physical health, for her to be openness with man about what God had done in his heart. You say, well, it's this private matter. No. I want to tell you, sometimes we think that, you know, God will do something in our life, and we'll say, well, I'm not going to talk about what the Lord did because, you know, it for me to share what the Lord did, you know, it's just not comfortable and it's private. I want to tell you how heaven spells that. P-R-I-D-E. It's not private, it's pride. Oh. You afraid that maybe you might look a little bad in this testimony? I want to tell you, the key is esteeming Jesus. Our part is to make Jesus look good. To relate his goodness. And so, private? No. Pride. Let me say it to you like this. Openness before man shows genuineness with God. Privacy before man reveals insincerity before God. Okay, well, maybe that gives you something to think about. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling. Hey, understand, this was out of her comfort zone. And the Lord was calling her to be public. She had to lay down her pride, her privacy. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She confessed with her mouth before man what God had done in her heart and her body. That's called a testimony. And it's important for you, for the redeemed of the Lord, to say so. It's important for you to say with your mouth before man what God has said, what God's done, what God's doing in your heart. Because it's not just for you. It's for others. And it's to give glory to God. So Jesus answered her and said, he said to her, daughter, and you know what? It's good to be a daughter. I'm telling you, when God calls you son or calls you daughter, it's just good. Okay? It's good. Your faith, your trust, and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Somebody say, healing. But now he's interested in her walking in what she received. You see, here's part of a problem. Sometimes we receive a touch from God, but we don't walk in it. I want to tell you, we'll let the enemy talk us out of it. We'll let human reasoning cause us to walk out of it. I want to tell you, God's very, very interested in you walking in what he does for you. Not just in it for an experience, but for life, for lifestyle. Somebody say amen. So this is what he says to her. Go in. And this is, I love the Amplify because it brings out some original language in this. Because if we were looking at, if we were just say, go in peace, then it'd be like one of my little granddaughters saying bye. It's not just a bye. Jesus is not just saying bye. Go in peace. No, no. He says, I want you to walk into peace. You got it? Who's our peace? Jesus is our peace. Let's keep our focus on the Lord. But listen at this. I want you to go into peace. Hey, let me say it to you Texas style 2018. Walk in his peace. He wants you to walk in his peace. He wants you to live in his peace in your soul, in your mind. Go into peace and be continually healed. Are you seeing this? This is why I'm telling you, he's pointing her the way of divine health. Yes, I healed you. Your faith has healed you. Release of my power to heal you. But here's how to continually walk in divine health so that this disease don't come creeping back on you. Anybody interested? Yes. Go into peace, walk in it, live in it, and be continually healed and continually freed from your distressing bodily disease. We're talking about continual renewal. Now, I'm going to bring this out in months to come. I can't touch on it today. But see, understand this. Sometimes the Lord does a miracle and everything is immediately restored better than it was. Sometimes the Lord does a healing, and even though the sickness is healed, done away with, there's a season of time for your body to be restored and recovered because the sickness has been healed, but the time, periods of time that you were sick, take stuff out of you. And so we walk with Jesus, and we walk in peace, and the more we walk with Him, the freer we get. But there's a time, because God's even put it in your body's DNA for you to be restored and renewed, if you'll give it a chance. But here's how to continually walk in restoration and renewal, is to walk in peace. Remember what I shared with you not too long ago, that dis-ease can bring disease. Peace is very, very important. Okay? Now look, remember, this has been for 12 years. 12 years. By the law of the day, she was unclean. You know what that means? That just like a leper would have gotten around people, he'd had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean, everybody, get out of the way." He wasn't even allowed to be around. Same way with her. We're not talking about a monthly situation with a woman. We're talking about a continual, for 12 years, flow of blood. And so, based on the law of that day, she was declared unclean. And it was illegal for her to be out in public around people without crying out unclean. She was not supposed to touch people. As a matter of fact, according to the law, she was supposed to stay home. Housebound. Anybody ever been housebound? You see, I'm telling you, there's so much here. It was illegal for her to touch others, or if she did, she could be stoned. And so, I'm sharing with you that she risked the risk of faith. She risked her life in order to receive grace, to receive healing, to receive Jesus. Hey, all of you that are listening, that you know, you think it's a mixture of law, and you say, "Well, she was qualified because of her life." No, 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 no. She had to break the law to receive grace. How about that? That's something to think on. Jesus told her, "Daughter, your faith." Did he say your obedience to the law? No, he said your faith. God considers righteousness by faith. We've spent sermons on that. And so it's very, very important. I'm going to ask you a question right now. This is for you to answer on the inside. How long are we going to believe what our eyes see versus what God says? Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself. This is where her faith came from. She had heard about Jesus' words and works. Thank God for reporters. Thank God for a witness. Everybody that hears you brag on Jesus and they end up accepting Christ are going to thank God for the reporter you are and the witness you are, because faith comes by hearing the words and works of Jesus. Number two, she had some corresponding actions or some cooperating actions. Not to earn it. She didn't do this to earn. She did it because she believed. You see the difference? That's what comes from rest. Somewhere, sometime, in her home, hearing the words and the works of Jesus and meditating on them and thinking on them, and she determined to say in her heart and with her mouth, she kept saying, "If I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." And she saw this in her imagination room. She saw that Jesus is her healer. And so she put some actions of faith to it. Faith promotes actions because we believe. Not to earn, but because we believe. I want to tell you, God's so good, he'll meet you right where you are. But she risked death because she believed in Jesus. When you believe, when you come to the practice of rest, that position in your heart that you believe. And remember, one of the things that we said not too long ago is that the more we practice the position of rest, the more that that position becomes a part of our practice, part of our lifestyle. This is something you must embrace, because when you practice that position of rest, of believing in your heart, it shows up in your thoughts. That's how you know. Oh, yeah, making progress here. Because instead of me thinking immediately what the doctor says or what the world says or what my body says, I'm thinking what Jesus says first. What's the dominant thought? It shows up in our thoughts. And if it's in your thoughts, it'll be in your attitude. You'll have an attitude of health and not an attitude of sickness. You won't be confessing sickness everywhere you turn around to everybody. You'll be confessing health. Wow, I hope, please catch this. And not only does it show up in your thoughts, your attitudes, it shows up in what you speak, but it shows up in your actions. Man, this is important. Because I want to tell you, one of the things that we tell people over and over again is that when you hear from God, do something with it. Say yes, amen, and somehow, some way, in whatever baby step measure, put it into practice. Okay? Because when you believe, it promotes cooperating action. Not to earn it, but just because we believe it. Are you believing? Are you resting for provision? I got to do that this week. Practice provision. I have to do the same thing you do. I have to trust in the Lord, look to the Lord as my provider. I have to, in my imagination room, see the provision of the Lord. I have to begin to confess provision. And my checkbook didn't agree. But you got to say what God says. And so are you going to go around and report what your checkbook says? Or are you going to report what the Word of God says? You say, well, Brother Tim, it's a little silly. No. I'm ministering life to you. If we had this Shiro in the building this morning that we just read about, she would tell you, faith works. Are you believing? If you're believing, give thanksgiving. If you're believing, speak it. If you're believing, think on it. If you're believing, act it out in some measure. Do something with it. I'm not going to tell any names or tell you where I was. I'm not even going to mention what state I was in. I was trying to encourage someone about healing. And I said, are you meditating on scriptures that I talked to you about healing? Yeah. And I said, well, which ones are the Lord using to speak to you? Well, there's one somewhere that talks about stripes. And I thought, it ain't happening. You understand? It wasn't happening. Hey, rest, receive, believe in your heart. Speak it, think it, act it out. This woman was determined. She was aggressive and not passive. This is a big problem. This is a big problem. I'm just announcing to you this is a big problem in the body of Christ. Okay? I want to say it to you in East Texas terms. Don't be a sissy, be all in. Do you believe? If you really believe, meditate on it. If you really believe, labor until you come to the position of believing. Don't stop at unbelief. The Word of God, renew your mind, help you believe. Speak it, act on it, give thanksgiving. And sometimes that means you have to be assertive and aggressive about speaking to the pain and the sickness. Okay? You have to do that. Bible tells us to do that. Man, when these thoughts, this anxiety and worry comes in your mind, don't befriend it, don't hug it. Don't let it hang around, you resist it. Okay? The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that you speak to the mountain. We'll go holler at God, Lord, dear Lord, Lord. Talk to the mountain about your God. Okay? God already knows about your mountain. You don't have to talk to him about it. Hey, he's already done the works on the cross for it. Look at your mountain and speak to the mountain and tell the mountain what God said. Get out of here. Okay, sometimes you have to speak to the sickness and the pain. I know that there's one person here that's going to remember this. But back in the last series, I was trying to explain about how the Lord has provided salvation for us. And salvation is more than just everlasting life. It's also deliverance, and it's also healing, and it's also provision. It's everything the Lord is. He is our salvation. But I said, and this is what I did. I pulled out a $10 bill. I can't repeat this illustration this week. But I pulled out a $10 bill. And I held it up in front of this precious group and I said, here's $10 for whoever will receive it. Because Jesus has paid our salvation. Okay? He's qualified you at the cross. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I held up a $10 bill and I just said, this is for whoever will receive it. This $10 is for whoever will receive it. This $10 is for whoever will receive it. I said it about three times. And there was a shout of faith that came from right here.
Yep, yep.
And she come running around the corner, spinning out, come up here and grabbed that $10 and gave a shout of victory.
Yes,
y'all remember that?
Yes, I
wish we could replay the tape. Because it was a sweet shout. But I want to tell you something. The gift is for whoever receives it. Jesus provided salvation. We must believe. That's where we rest, that it's not me, it's him. He provided it and receive it. Jesus did it. He offers it, we receive it. This woman heard the works and words of Jesus, she believed. I want to tell you, there's some mystery about this, but I want to tell you, in some ways it's so amazing because I have seen young ones in the Lord. They don't have Bible background. I'm talking young ones that just with childlike faith say, okay, I receive. And then we have people that have spent their lives in church, and you're looking at one of them. Okay, I've preached in a lot of them. And I have a lot to unlearn before I learn. There are some principles of faith. Okay? And he wants us to learn the principles. It's not hidden, it's hidden for us. He wants us to seek. But she was aggressive. She was assertive. She was determined. Many times we don't believe to the place of resting in it. And we don't receive. We don't act in faith. She could have said this. This is why I'm talking to you. There's a passive mentality in the body of Christ that's anti-faith. Okay? This is what she could have said. This is what a lot of modern Christians say. Well, I know that he can heal me. I know that he can change me. But if he really wants to, he'll come to my house. He knows where I live. He'll show up in my house and he'll do it right here at my house. He'll just make it happen. Whatever will be, will be. That's not faith. That's laziness. That's being passive. I want to tell you something. She had faith and she had cooperating actions. Seek him. Do you see her seeking him? She took the risk of faith, risked her life to do it. Resist the enemy. Believe, receive. I know folk that say they want to be healed, but they're not hearing the word. They're just not. Not renewing their mind. Not aggressively seeking the Lord to the place of heart-believing rest, not speaking it, not acting on it, but they'll say to me, I just don't know why I'm not healed. I just don't know why Jesus hadn't helped me with this or with that. And I want to tell you, my answer goes like this. I don't know either, because I'm not an expert on it. But let me ask you a few questions. Is your heart at rest about it? No. Are you in a place of faith toward this? Well, are you seeking the Lord wholeheartedly? Well, sometime. Okay, are you renewing your mind? Well, when I get a chance. Are you determined? Maybe. What is maybe? That's kind of like I was driving the other day and pulling. Let's go pull out the street and ask my beautiful blonde, how's it look that way? She says, clear. And I hit the, and then she said, I think. Do you remember that? Well, we just stopped the show in the whole street right there. Clear. I think. You know, that's like, are you pursuing the Lord wholeheartedly? Maybe. How about your actions? Are you, you see, renewing your mind by saturating yourself in the Word. It means that you got to hear it. You got to hear the words and the works of Jesus over and over again. You got to meditate on it, speak it, practice the presence of the Lord. It's labor into rest. You say, Brother Tim, I don't know what that means. I'm going to give you a little clue here. It's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. Is labor into rest. Because I want to tell you why, because it goes against self. It's Savior and not self. That's what makes it hard. Okay? Because you're going to have to do some self-denying. In order to esteem Jesus, you got to deny yourself. Hey, look, this is not being mean. This is Christianity. This is normal Christianity. To take up your cross, deny yourself. Hey, seek the Lord. It's putting Him first. It's some sacrificial stuff of the flesh. Because the flesh will cry aloud, be easy on me. And Jesus is saying, seek me. I want to tell you the statement I hear, have heard more than any other, that just really hurts my heart on this. You're trying to talk people into believing and receiving. And they'll say, and you talk about renewing the mind, saturating with Scripture and pursuing the Lord. And they'll say, I don't have time for that. Really? Oh, come on, really? You don't have time for that? Okay, 168 hours in a week. If you slept 8 hours a night, it'd be 56 out of that. If you worked 40 hours a week, you still have 72 hours left in the week. But we don't have time to seek the Lord. We don't have time. Hey, some of the people I talk to don't work. That's 112 hours a week. But we don't have time to seek the Lord. I want to tell you, we take time for those things we deem important. And I want to tell you, if the Lord's important, it's going to show up in your schedule. Okay? Mark 11:24. I just got to say to you, Jesus is willing. You see, the question from heaven is, are you willing? Because Jesus has already proven He's willing. Mark 11:24. For this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted to you and you will get it. Believe that you receive when you pray. This woman was desperate. She was determined. She was convinced. She chose Jesus' words and works over condemnation and fear. Remember, 12 years. How long have you battled in your battle? But to believe for God, to do something, to receive something from Him. Hey, she's looking at 12 years of failure, 12 years of disappointment, 12 years of negative words, 12 years of pain and suffering. And you say, well, I've been suffering for a couple of weeks and I'm so tired. Really? Surrender to Jesus wholeheartedly. Saturate yourself in the Word. This is what it means to renew our mind. Seek Him in receiving rest. Speak words of faith. Say no to condemnation. That's a big one. There is therefore now no condemnation to the believer. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but to forgive you. Condemnation is not from Jesus. He suffered and rose again for us. He makes intercession for us. He's for you. Now, are you feeling guilty? You come to the blood of Jesus. Condemnation is not from God. That's from the accuser. That's the enemy. And if you listen to the liar, now look, this is probably the most important thing I'm saying today, and I'm wrapping up right now, so please catch this. If you listen to the liar, he says you're guilty. And he says it's your fault. If you agree with him, you're offering a sacrifice to try to make it right. You know what you're sacrificing? Your faith mindset. Because if you agree with the enemy that, yeah, it's my fault. Yeah, I did wrong. Oh, yeah, I'm guilty. Oh, yeah, I'm shame, blame, game. That's me. If you agree with the enemy on that, you just sacrifice. You went from the side of the tug of war in believing and in faith, and you went over to the other side. Unbelief, doubt, fear, guilt, condemnation. You got on the other side. Okay? You sacrificed your faith mindset. Wait a minute. Let me say it another way. You offer your health of your mind as a guilt offering because you don't feel like you deserve peace because you did wrong. You're sabotaging your faith and your peace and your mind and your health. I'm just telling you, it's all a lie. And you say, well, I really did do it. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. Can I tell you that he paid with his blood your stupidity, your wrongness, your mess up, your failure, your wrong choice? His blood is greater than that. Okay, I'm about decided, so let me just say Tim talk. I'm not putting this in concrete. This is Tim talk. But I'm about decided that before the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy, that we give him permission by agreeing with a lying accusation, or we receive guilt and condemnation that's wrong, that's false. Well, good preaching, Brother Tim. Amen. Way to step out there on the high dive and try. What I'm saying to you is that Jesus became our sin. Jesus became our sin. We became his righteousness. We don't deserve it. We probably did do it. We don't deserve it, but Jesus is our gift of righteousness. It's right here. We're forgiven. Okay? I need to give you a personal example. We took a few days to get away a couple weeks ago. Went to the ranch. Pastor Don, thank you for letting us go to your ranch. We hid out there. It's in East Texas. Pleasant. Restful. But we decided we were going to go to our favorite restaurant. It's a ways away, but we were going to go there on that night. And I just announced, I'm not eating lunch, man. Hey. We're celebrating. I don't do this every night, but we're celebrating. I ain't eating lunch. I'm eating my fair share tonight. Huh? Yeah. And so, man, you know, just a little nibble at lunch, and man, come supper time, I'm there alive and living color, and boy, got this big old steak, and I threw it down, and we decided not to get dessert because we were so full. We get back to the ranch, and a little while later said, I believe I can handle a little dessert now. So I went in there and celebration mode. Ate all kind of stuff on top of that steak. Well, about an hour later, I'm sick as a dog. Beautiful blonde, the Lord blesses her by her going to sleep. And I'm up and I'm miserable. And I'm in the restroom and I'm saying, I need to call dinosaurs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a mess. I can't describe it. Some of you won't last the meeting. But I'm feeling so bad. I said, I need to, you know, it's not good. And I said to myself, are you listening?
Yeah.
You know, you did this to yourself. Nobody forced them numinos and that ice cream. And nobody forced all that dessert down you. You did this to yourself. Listen, you deserve it. You deserve to be sick at your stomach. El stupido. And I'm saying, yeah, I did. I deserve it. Yeah, that was me. Anybody listening? And so then it hit me while I was wanting to call dinosaurs that, you know what? This is going to rob me of a night of rest and sleep on the few days that we've got to rest in a long time. I don't have to let the enemy steal a night of sleep from me so that I feel bad the whole next day. Is anybody getting this?
Yes, I am.
And so I want to tell you, in spite of my stupidity, in spite of my wrong choices, I want to tell you the blood of Jesus is greater than my stupidity. He's greater than my wrong choices of eating. And so I appeal to the blood of Jesus. And I say, Lord, heal me. Help me. Deliver me. And I want to tell you, I got a good night rest. Did not call dinosaurs. Had a good night rest. And I woke up the next morning. The beautiful blonde come and check on me. Are you okay? I said, sure. Let's go. Okay. Now look, I had to speak to that sickness. And I had to say, no. I'm not putting up with this. Get out of here. You're gone. I plead the blood of Jesus. I receive favor from God. Okay? I receive a restful night. Are you listening? Okay? I had to put some action to it. All right? Now look, let me tell you what this sounds like. This sickness is going around. What do you hear? I want to tell you. It's rare for me to go to a doctor, but the last time I went in, he said, are you experiencing such and such and such and such? I said, no. He said, well, why are you here? I said, you called me and said, it's been so long, you need to see me. Oh. He said, well, I just asked that because everybody's got this. I said, I don't. It's going around. I said, it ain't coming here. Wait. Are you listening? Well, everybody's got it. No. I refuse that. In the name of Jesus, I refuse that. How about this? Don't agree with it. Don't receive it. Don't confess it. Okay? Desire healing and health and speak healing and health. Because Jesus won it for us. Provision for us. Don't accept condemnation is what I'm saying. Jesus has already suffered for it. That's why he said there's therefore now no condemnation to those that believe it's illegal. We accept Jesus by grace through faith. You are the rightness of God in Christ because of Jesus. See it and say it. Be still. Receive the rest. Receive it. Resist the enemy and he flees. And we have a lot to give thanks for. We give thanks before, during, and after. That's what faith does. That's what victory sounds like, is thanksgiving. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your love and your blood was greater price than all of our mess. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for us to be free from guilt and condemnation and shame and blame. Thank you, Lord, that you don't play that game with us. I recognize in the name of Jesus that's from the enemy. I cast that down in Jesus' name. We renounce all guilt, condemnation, shame, blame, game. We renounce that off of our people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we look to you, for you're our peace. You're our joy. You're our love life. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us great grace. We have great favor. It's unearned favor. We receive your favor. This brings you honor and glory. Lord, we receive your love life. Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us, that you're our provision. You're the one that sets us free. You're the one that delivers us. You're our protection. Lord, thank you so much that you protect us and you cover us. And so, Lord, I just pray over the minds of these precious people. And we renounce any anxiety, any worry, any fear in any form. And we release the love of Jesus to flood our minds right now in the name of the Lord. And we confess that the peace of God mounts garrison around about our minds. We claim your healing and your health. Lord, teach us to walk in your peace, to walk in your rest. Teach us how to receive from you and love others with it. We receive what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in our families. Lord, we trust in you. And all the people said, amen.